right, we'll have Matthew talk about Planet ASX up in South Dakota.
You go ahead and start when you like.
All right, Matthew Schutte. I'm going to talk about Planet ASX in South Dakota. One of the reasons for research, of course, the study has been done multiple times in the past, but of course, you know, we always have new varieties. We have different pests that are becoming economic problems. We have different pesticides, and of course, we have different best management practices. So using data from, you know, 10 years ago that used different best management practices is not going to be entirely viable for practices today. Also, we see an overall steady increase in yield over time. Another reason, especially in South Dakota, is the fact that the weather is, you know, some of the most least predictable in the United States. So, also, we're seeing a number of increasing in heavy downpours in South Dakota, which is something that affected my data, I guess, a little bit over the past 2 years. And, of course, we can't predict the weather, so we've just got to plan for it the best way we can. The importance of soybeans in South Dakota, it's definitely the second most important crop, right up there with corn. For today, mine's going to be a corn-soybean rotation, so definitely the top two crops for South Dakota. For farmers, this is especially most important. Soybean prices are incredibly volatile, especially over the past, 10 years or so. Optimal economical practices change as prices change, and due to this, we have a less margin for error. And also, planting is one of the most important crop parts of any crop production venture, because as soon as that seed goes in the ground, all the decisions about what you did cannot really be changed without any easy hard. This location is down in Volga, South Dakota. I have a map that will point it to it directly if you don't know where that is. Right next to Brookings, South Dakota, if you know where that is instead. We did a randomized complete block design, split pod arrangement, four replications. We had four planting dates. 2014, we started May 16th. 2015, we started May 4th. The difference for that is because, like I said in the previous presentation, there's a lot of different factors that go into the emergence of soybeans. Well, we had to wait for warmer temperatures in 2014 and also for the soils to dry in order to not have any adverse effects happen to the soybeans in that first planting date. And then it's every 2 weeks after that. We had two soybean varieties, 1-4 and 2-4, four live seeding rates listed there, two seed treatments with and without Acceleron, and the plot size, four rows, 30 inches, 5.5 meters long, two middle rows were harvested. Oh, and here on the bottom is just at the end of the year. This picture here is showing how incredible the plot can look at the end of the year. Materials and methods. This is some of the stuff that we measured. We did establish population counts, the date in which the soybeans reached R1 and R8, the seed yield, oil and protein content, and number of pods per plant. I'm also going to be talking about date of R1 and R8 and seed yield and how they correlate. We did do established population counts, oil and protein content, but those were either not significantly different or they were minimal in their differences. And also number of pods per plant. Also, the yield differences were according to pods per plant, but the amount of seeds per pod were not significantly different throughout the planting dates or maturities. Here's some of the climate data. When I talked about the heavy downpour, we received our heavy downpour events in June for 2014, and August it was for 2015. Average temperature. One thing to note is September. When you're planting 2-4 soybeans, usually in that part of South Dakota we plant a 2-1 soybean, but when you're planting in June and July, a 2-4 soybean, you're going to have to really deal with frost. But the fact that in 2015 we had a much warmer September than 2014 affects the data a little bit in that. This just kind of shows our window between the last 25% chance of a killing frost in the spring and in the fall. And here, like I said, if I can get the mouse to work, this blue star here is where Volga, South Dakota is in eastern South Dakota, and the black here just kind of shows the date in which that is. So that's April 30th to May 3rd for the spring, and for the fall, it is September 20th to the 21st. And of course, you can plant before April 30th and May 5th because it's going to take at least a week for those soybeans to emerge and be exposed to that possible killing frost. We also did a partial economic analysis, so all the factors were fixed except for seeding rate and seed treatment. So here's just some of the measurements that we used, or some of the variables that were part of it. And then on the data, you will see a star for the seeding rate charts, and that will show that that was the most economical seeding rate for that planting date. Here we're getting into the yield relationship between the length of the reproductive phase and yield. Here we have the days that it was from in the reproductive phase, and in the top right-hand corner is the correlation coefficient. So that's definitely a very strong correlation coefficient in comparison to yield, or with yield. And as you can see here, 2014, we had a fall frost event that affected the 2-4 soybean in planting dates 3 and 4. And in planting dates 4, 1-4 was adversely affected by frost as well. And that affected the yield on the right. So here, 2015, not as strong as a relationship as 2014 was when it came to days in reproductive phase and yield. Also, we had a lot less days in comparison. Go back and forth here. It's about, you know, 10 days less on average, 15 days less on average. But what you can see here is that 2-4 soybean had a lot longer time in reproductive phase, and it also resulted in a more yield for the 2-4 soybean. And here, just showing the total growing season. Here we just saw that both in 2014 and 2015, the total length of the growing season had a very strong correlation with yield. So the longer that growing season was, the more yield we got. Here going to seeding rates effect on yield. This is 2014. Like I said, the stars are showing what is the most economical seeding rate for that planting date. So one of the things you'll notice is that the seeding rates effect on yield were not exactly large amounts of variability in between them. Consistently, the lowest seeding rate was also the lowest in yield. But when it came to being economically viable, the second to lowest seeding rate was most for the first three, while the lowest was most economically viable for the last planting date. And that's kind of repeated in 2015 as well, in which the lowest two seeding rates were the most economically viable. And for South Dakota, we're kind of more in between this 420 and 333,000 per hectare, more closer to the 420 than we are to the 333, though. It varies for each farmer and their soil types, of course, but just on average, that is where we're at. Conclusions, anything that shortened the growing season also reduced the yield. So I'm talking about delays in planting, whether it be due to weather or because we delay it ourselves, because, of course, most farmers in our area are planting corn before they're planting soybeans. Also, fall frost was one of the most devastating effects on the yield for 2014. And 2016, we're doing the study again, and just based on observations, our planting date 4, 2.4 soybean, was hit hard by the fall frost, but everything else matured before then. Lower seeding rates were consistently economically viable due to little yield variability among seeding rates. And then, if you notice, I did not have any graphs about seed treatment because there was no significant differences in the yield from seed treatment. And because of no significant differences, it was not economically viable to be using seed treatment for this. And most of the reason why for that is that, you know, seed treatment is more of a preventative deal. You know, just like you don't spray a field with herbicide if there's no weeds, you know, if you don't have any pest problems that need seed treatment, then there's no point in using seed treatment for those fields. Recommendation, producers should consider raising their maturity ratings to extend the growing season and increase yield. Like I said, in the deal, we were definitely finishing well beforehand with 2-4 soybeans, and they were 0.3 higher than what is typically used in that area. But also, we were planting 2 weeks and a month late than normal, and yet we were still having those soybeans finish and yield considerably better than their earlier maturing. Of course, you have to be concerned about the fall frost risk. So when it comes down to it, to the farmer, it's better to be safe than sorry. But when they're first planting, they should definitely consider raising their maturity ratings. Also, farmers should consider using mid to low range seeding rates, which is similar to the first presentation today, in which, you know, farmers should be lowering their seeding rates with what the prices are now. And also, no seed treatment if the farmer does not have any previously existing pest problems. Acknowledgements, Nathan Mueller. He is the one that got this all started. Kevin Kirby and Sean Hawks for doing the combining and planting the first 2 years. And Greg Gregs and Deepak Joshi for this current year. And then Chris Owasu for a lot of miscellaneous help he's helped with. So, and also the South Dakota Soybean Research and Promotion Council, the one that provided the grant, and the South Dakota State University Agriculture Experimental Station. Some references that were key to the study. And is there any questions or comments? Say that again.
Okay, and in your results or discussion right at the very end, you put a comment in there that said raise your maturity rating.
Oh yeah, so like you know we said that the average for South Dakota is a 2.1. Raising it to a 2.4 might help, but even you know raising it even beyond that, of course we don't have any data related to that.
You're saying to plan a later maturity.
Yeah, later maturity rating. Raise the number. Yeah, later maturity. Yeah.
Okay, my second question is. You're an extension man. A farmer comes up to you and says, what do I need to do? Tell me what you would tell him based on what you just saw.
Well, what time of the season would it be? Would it be during spring, right before he's planting, or during the winter?
I'm a farmer. I want to know when to plant soybeans and what variety.
Oh, yeah. Well, mostly, if he's a corn soybean farmer, by the time he's done with corn, usually he'll be ready. But 60 degrees Fahrenheit for the soil temperature, definitely above that. Make sure this stuff is not too wet. That's mostly a concern for our area. In 2015, we had problems with it being dry, but we had rains coming soon, so that worked out for us. But yeah, just make sure those conditions are met. And then use lower seeding rates. Plant as early as possible is pretty much the biggest thing. And, you know, have your maturity rating estimated to be done by, mid-September, late September. So, and that would probably be a bit higher than the 2.1 that we are recommending now. No, this is all non-irrigated, all dry land.
Any other last questions for Matthew? All right, thank him again.